Chapter 1. Swerving Through the 70s. A Family Boldly Leaves Its Driveway. One winter evening in 1976, when I was 7 years old, I went to sleep in my bed in Wisconsin and woke up in a snowdrift in Indiana. I had little idea how I'd gotten there. I dimly recall my father's arms cradling me as I looked up through eyelids heavy with sleep. I watched the white ceiling of the hallway turn into the shadowy pine rafters of our garage, then the fuzzy tan fabric of our family car's interior. I remember being tossed across the laps of my older brothers in the back seat, a pillow pushed under my head, and a blanket thrown over my body. Then I drifted off again into blackness. Next came a startled yelp. I opened my eyes to find myself tumbling in a blur of stuffed animals, 8-track tape cartridges, styrofoam coffee cups, and issues of Dynamite magazine. I landed on the car's floor with a thud, the round hump of the transmission housing pressed into my belly, my chin burning from sliding on the shag carpet. I had no idea where we were, but I knew where we weren't. Anywhere near the sunny beach in Florida that I'd been listening to my mom tell us about for weeks. All I could surmise was that I was in our car, and it was cold and dark and eerily quiet. Even the engine was still. Finally, my dad's voice cut the silence. "Geez, Louise. Everyone okay? Anyone hurt?" my dad asked, his head swiveling around from my mom and sister beside him in the front seat to my brothers and me in the rear.
What happened?"
my mom replied, dazed. Like me, she'd just been roused from a deep sleep to find herself on a whirling carnival ride.
"Whoa, we did at least 3 360s, gushed my 13-year-old brother Bruce, a little too enthusiastically for the rest of us.
"The highway just became a hockey rink," my dad explained. "Cars spinning everywhere. It's a wonder we didn't smack into anyone." My 12-year-old sister Leslie, who got motion sickness from riding escalators at the mall, didn't say a word. She just stared straight ahead in her usual position between my parents and the front seat, trying not to barf all over the dashboard. After counting heads to make sure none of us had been launched into orbit, my parents quickly assessed our situation. The car was upright, though pitched at an unnerving angle. Good. No one had any obvious fractures or gushing head wounds. Good. Not a single window showed a crack. Also good. The worst that could be said was that all of the loose contents inside our car, maps, thermoses, shoes, me, were scattered about as though our vehicle had been picked up and shaken like a snow globe. But then, that was how the inside of our car generally looked while on a road trip anyway. What was unusual was how dark it was. The only light inside our car streamed in shafts through gaps of thick snow caked on every window. Dad turned the ignition key. To our surprise, the engine roared to life, pressing the windshield wipers suddenly back into action. As they labored to push the clumps of snow aside, we got a better view of our predicament. Our car had come to rest well off the interstate, halfway down a broad slope that served as one side of a wide V-shaped highway median. Since I was only 7 years old, I didn't dwell on the delicate nature of our predicament. Instead, I thought about what a great sledding hill this would make, had we been on Dad's prized wood toboggan and not inside our 1975 Lincoln Continental Town Car. We weren't alone. As far as we could see, ahead of us and behind, vehicles were scattered about the interstate like toy cars dropped by a cranky toddler. Dad pulled his door handle, allowing a ferocious blast of frigid air to swirl inside. The door barely budged, blocked by a mound of thigh-high snow outside. Dad's blood pressure instantly redlined. "Cripes, Jiminy!" It was one of many colorfully benign phrases he kept ready to avoid blurting out a real ear burner in front of us kids. Others included, "Gee willikers," for crying out loud, and his ever-reliable go-to non-expletive, "criminately."